by Pete Wilson. This is BBC Radio Gloucestershire, and I want to talk about the life of Graham Spring. As I said, Graham is the stadium announcer at Kingsong, probably had his voice heard by hundreds of thousands of people because he's been doing the job for 36 years. I'm going to go back long before that, Graham. Let's go back to the very beginning. Where were you born?
Painswick, where I lived for the first 20 years. And then, of course, as all people do, I moved away, but very much a Painswick boy at heart.
Painswickian?
A Painswickian, yes. And we used to eat doggy pie, of course.
Yes, of course. Now, tell me about early life then. You go to school in Painswick?
Yes, I did. Painswick up until the 11 plus. And then, having passed that, I moved on to what was a Stroud Boys Technical, probably better known these days as Marlin School. While I was at school, my arguments with my father started regarding my future. My whole wish throughout my senior school years was to move into journalism. But my father, and remember going back a few years, fathers ruled the roost. He firmly told me I'd get a proper job and he wouldn't hear about any floozy woozy jobs like journalism.
So what did father do?
My father was in the army initially, four-time, fought throughout the Second World War. In his latter years, he firstly worked at Painswick Quarry and then as a delivery driver for the Painswick Bakery.
So what about the Spring family? What about the Spring history? Do you know much about the family history? Back, you know, grandparents, great-grandparents?
No, simply because my father became an orphan at the age of 14. And by hook or by crook, he lied himself into the army. And history never went beyond that, just that the grandparents were dead long before I was born.
Did you enjoy your school days? Do you like school?
Yes and no. Yes, because there was plenty of chance to do the favourite things like playing sport. The lessons, though, found them a bit boring, as everybody did. But I did apply myself because I knew, and it was built into my brain, that life is a long time if you live it to the full and you will need qualifications. But no, I didn't enjoy the learning side of it.
But you went to Marling. I mean, Marling was, in those days, quite a posh place to go.
Yes, indeed.
Not that it isn't now, of course.
Well, I can't comment on today, but yeah, I appreciate that the quality of education I received was great. I still didn't have to enjoy it, though.
No. And what about the sports side? I mean, you must have enjoyed the sporting side of life at those young ages, though.
I did. And when I look back now, I realise that I tried a huge number of sports, but perhaps with the exception of cricket and golf, a lack of talent found me out very seriously and very quickly.
But this is the beauty when you're at school, you know, and you're 11, 12, 13, 14. You've got the opportunity to try all these things. And it doesn't really matter if you're no good.
No, it doesn't, except sometimes you let your teammates down. I know that we had one of the first athletic events was 400 yards and a relay, and I was on the first leg. And of course, I'd watch the athletes of the day tuck themselves in at the back of the field and then on the final bend come through and hand over the baton in the lead. So I thought, this is what I'll do. Of course, I tucked in at the back and all I did was fall further and further behind at the back. And so initially then I found out that athletics was yet another sport that I had absolutely no talent for whatsoever.
Virtually every week now, you see some very high-quality rugby. Did you play rugby yourself?
I was in Painswick, of course, very much a rugby village. In those days, they basically ran one side, and occasionally they had Colts matches. Because I was miles away from being a first-team player, I only ever played a handful of matches, and that would have been at Colts level. And I've got to be honest, Pete, I was rubbish.
We're going to get on to your time at Gloucester Rugby very, very shortly, but it's ironic, isn't it, that you come from Painswick, the cherry and white shirts for Gloucester originated by them borrowing a set from Painswick.
Yeah, that's the story, and I've absolutely no idea whether that is true, but there the similarity ends.
Painswick still play in cherry and white, don't they?
Indeed they do, and they're one of the first results I look for on a Saturday evening.
So when you got to school, you were at Marling, you're doing this studying that you don't really want to do. Dad didn't want you to go into journalism. What did you end up thinking you were going to do when you left school?
Well, he was very much of the mind that I must get an apprenticeship. He saw me on a building site, perhaps a plumber, perhaps a brickie, all commendable jobs, but I couldn't think of anything worse. We compromised in the end, and I joined up with British Gas to train as an engineer. Thankfully, British Gas saw a little bit more in me and adjusted my training, and very, very quickly I moved into the clerical sphere of British Gas, and through hard work and no little luck, I worked myself through the ranks.
Graham Spring today then, and we'll get to the story of his work as the stadium announcer at King's Home very shortly. We got you to British Gas. Was it a lifetime's job, British Gas?
I worked at British Gas from the age of 18 through until 1997, best part of 30 years. And then I had the chance to leave. The organisation was being completely restructured and they were looking for people to take voluntary redundancy. I had plans of my own for the remains of my working years, and my hand could barely shoot up fast enough to accept the offer, which was very, very good.
Joined the club because I did exactly the same. Now, looking around your beautiful lounge here in your home, with a beautiful view out the window, there are racehorse pictures on the wall. Are you a racehorse racing fan?
The answer to that is a very big yes. I can be seen on many race courses in the country. My wife and myself, particularly my wife, very much into horses. We've bought race horses in the past, not to race them, but to rehabilitate them. But yeah, one of my passions is horse racing. Love it.
And you were telling me a little story before we started about going out with the legendary Digger Morris and others, Morris Longney.
Yep, going back to when Morris Longney and Digger Morris were alive, along with myself and that ex-Gloucester fullback and Matson stalwart Ronnie Etheridge, we used to, on most Wednesdays, because Morris closed his butcher's shop, decide where there was racing, and off we went. Could be Exeter, could be Newbury, could be Ludlow. We went.
Tell me the story about the game of cards in the pub.
Well, the one thing we did, we always made sure that we got to the venue or close to the venue very early. And we would always have a pack of cards with us. And we used to play seven card brag for small money, such as 5p a time, you know. And we went into a pub close to the Devon and Exeter racecourse. And we could see that whilst we were playing, the landlord was getting a little bit tetchy. And he came over and he said, "Look, lads," he said, "I really ought to ask you to put these cards away." He said, "If the police came, I'd be losing my licence, you know." And Ronnie Etheridge, who probably remembers this story, of course, was in the police force and dryly remarks, "The police are a lot nearer than you realise, old chap." And, of course, we weren't playing for big stakes at poker in the upstairs back room. We were paying for probably 5p a time in the bar of a pub, which we did everywhere we went, and never before and never after did anyone question it. But that day, we really upset that landlord.
Did the landlord twig what Ronnie had said?
I don't think so. Nope. He just looked worried, and when we went, I think he thought, "Thank goodness for that."
Do you go racing as often these days, or have other things taken over in your life?
It depends basically how busy I am with other commitments, but I probably get racing perhaps 15 to 20 times a year. I tend these days to look at Worcester, Chepstow. Used to love Hereford before it closed down. I take the occasional trip down to Devon and Newton Abbot, but probably 15, 20 times a year.
Oh, it's just a nice time, but it's a lovely thing to do. You don't have to spend a fortune gambling, really, do you? You can go and just literally take an interest in the horses.
Well, you're absolutely right, Pete. And I've got to say that, as I admitted to you earlier, my talents at various sports were very poor. And if I was dependent on my winnings at racing for a living, I would be in a gutter somewhere in a cardboard box. If there's a two-horse race, I can usually get the one that comes second.
Yeah, well, they say back the outsider of a two- or three-horse race, but it never works for me. But you did say you went to Ascot Sales and bought a young horse that had been raced and for not a lot of money and rehabilitated it, which must be fantastic.
Yeah, the one that particularly comes to mind was a horse called Common Accord. Now, if anyone looks in the form books, they will find that as a yearling, it changed hands or was bought for £750,000. It was raced very hard as a two-year-old, won one race. It then went hurdling. and it was placed three or four times, and then it went to Ascot Sales. And as a three-year-old, that £750,000 horse came to me for 900 guineas. And we had it at home for 3 or 4 years, and it never really settled. And in the end, the hard life it had as a two-year-old took its toll.
You've never actually owned a racehorse to race, though, have you?
No, we've only had racehorses to rehabilitate into riding, show jumping, or endurance riding.
I know your wife rides. Do you ride too?
Yes, again, badly. But she was very much into endurance riding, and a fair amount of indoor show jumping rather than outdoor show jumping. And I took part in that. But if you say she was at level 5, I was down at level 0.
Oh, you're a very modest man.